Hi, I'm Koshin Chris Kane, abbot of the Puget Sound Zen Center on Vashon Island, Washington. We're glad to be able to bring you these podcasts. If you'd like to learn more about our Zen Center, please visit our website at pscc.org.
Sitting to meditation sits, coming in with all kinds of ideas about what I know, and then be in the space of not knowing anything anymore. Sorry. And for me, there's so many aspects to breathing, and I thought I'd just make it more appropriate for what we're doing here in this short amount of time. For me, breathing is my teacher. I tune in to see what it has to tell me. And so I was interested today, I've come to talk about one particular aspect of being human and breathing, but then you brought up the topic of renewal. And so that renewal was very present for me in the idea, in our meditations today. So I was sitting with this concept of renewal. And for me, I always kind of look and see, okay, if I have a concept, a mental concept, how do I actually experience that word? How do I have an experience of it in my body, in my organism? And one of the fabulous things about breathing is that every cycle, we are born breathing in, take our first breath in, and we are born breathing out. I mean, we are death, our death is our last breath out. So we start our life with a breath in and we end our life with a breath out. And so when we are born, we are renewed into this time period, and when we are death, we are released out of this particular mortal coil, if you will. So really, in every breath, we have the fractal of that reality, so that when we breathe in, there is no renewal without an inhale. And on the other side of renewal is a release, and that release comes in our exhale. So we have to remember in the idea of renewal, in my experience, that I am renewed every time I take a breath in, and I release that moment back into the maybe that I will be renewed again. I don't know. There's no certainty. That's where the uncertainty lives, in that space between the end of one exhale and the beginning of one inhale. So just taking a moment for maybe five breaths, just feel into, if you can, in that inhale, the sense of being brought into an animated form, that your life is here in this inhale. And then when you breathe out, there is sort of a settling back into, that was a nice time this one time around. I enjoyed that moment of being in life and being renewed and back and forth. And the other thing that I was paying attention to, and I'd like you to pay attention to also, is that, and you can do this with your eyes closed, I think I prefer it. Just at the beginning of this, just notice the shades of color behind your eyes. The light, the dark, all that's there behind your eyes as you let your eyes settle. And when you breathe in, what happens to the light when you breathe in? And what happens to the light when you breathe out? Is there a change in how your body notices light on the inhale and on the exhale? So in my experience, when I breathe in, it gets brighter. There's a brightening. And when I breathe out, there's an endarkening. So are we enlightened on every breath? And do we let go of that enlightenment to find a place that we can be enlightened again, breath by breath? And does not the sun come up and lighten our day and renew our day and goes down at night? So do we not do the same thing on every breath? So I hold breath very sacred because it teaches me so much. And so when I want to spend that moment in being renewed and being in the cycle of my life on in and out, and everything comes and everything goes and light shines and light disappears, that is what goes on moment to moment to moment to moment to moment to moment. And if you take a moment in the pause of the exhale between the end of your exhale and the beginning of your next inhale, see if you can feel what is it that calls that next breath. What movement do you notice in your body that is calling that next breath? What do you feel that is interested in wanting to have another moment here? It's a vibration. In that emptiness, what do you hear? What do you feel? Do you feel the movement of your blood? Do you feel your heart beating when it's quiet between the breaths? So I like to think it's my heart's desire that calls forth the next breath. Because without the breath, there is no heart. And without the heart, there is no breath. So they're right there together. So for me, renewal happens in the experience of breathing. Just a thought. Any words on that from anybody? In your experience of that? I see some heads nodding, bodying in agreement, so I always go with that. It's always a good thing. I know I'm on someone on the right track. That's worth paying attention to, I think. Because it slows down. Doesn't your breath slow down when you kind of pay attention that way? Yeah. And so slowing down is a good thing when it comes to being quiet inside and using breath to quiet us and paying attention to it. Because when we start to watch it, just simply notice it, it accommodates us by slowing down so that we can see it a little bit better. It's very friendly to us. So the other word that I was thinking about this morning when I was preparing for this was, because I do work with people who are dysfunctional in their breathing, people who have asthma, people who have sleep apnea, people who have anxiety. And I am giving a lecture. I gave a lecture a couple of last month, I think it was last month in December, beginning of December, maybe it was the end of November, on the fundamentals of breathing at the library. And 50 people showed up for that lecture. It was a 2-hour lecture. I was shocked. Usually I see 6 or 12 people, and I kept taking chairs out. And I made up 50 handouts, and 50 handouts got given out. That's pretty good for Vashon. So I'm teaching this Sunday again at 11 o'clock at the library, and a week from Sunday. And this one's going to be on the challenge of living with asthma. So I've put some flyers out there and some brochures. So pass the word, because it's a struggle to live with asthma, and yet the Buteyko method that I teach really helps people disappear their symptoms and help them get off their medications. So if you know anybody is struggling, there's really no need to suffer and struggle with asthma. There's ways to be able to soothe oneself, because people who live with asthma, just a little briefly, live with the specter of death in every breath. They are more aware of this cycle of being alive and dying with every breath than anybody else on the planet, pretty much, because they are, unless they're, you know, of course, meditating and doing spiritual practice, but they watch every breath, they know every breath, they know when one is going to cause them a possibility of moving towards something that will take their breath and not let it return. So they're very aware of it. And they are people who should be respected and honored, because they're letting us know that life is on this planet is not as easy as it should be for all of us, because of pollution and bad food and water. They suffer. So the word that came to me today in teaching was grace. So renewal and grace. So some definitions of grace. Grace is a simple and elegant refinement in movement. And we all know when we see grace, right? We really love it and appreciate it and see it, and therefore it speaks to us about some kind of beauty, does it not? There's beauty in grace, yeah. And as a verb, I really like it as a verb, it's to do honor to one's presence, to dignify, to do honor to one's presence. And that's not what we're doing in here, to be let ourselves be present. And what is more present in the real reality than following one's breath? Because that's what's here right now. Each breath is what's here right now. So to do honor, so paying attention to one's breath is to do honor to one's presence. And the religious spiritual aspect of grace is the free and unlimited favor of God. Or the free and unlimited favor of light, or free and unlimited favor of peace. So to do grace is to allow the light of peace and love to come in. Let's put to free and unlimited favor of love, if you will. So grace is beauty, is it not? And when we are present in our beauty and in our beauty, are we not more vulnerable as well? Because we are being seen and open to being really beautiful. So here's a question that I noticed. Breath is everywhere. So when we see somebody who's really graceful in movement, what we're seeing is the movement of breath through their body. Because no place in their body, if there's a place in their body that is not breathing, is being held from breath, there's no grace there. Because grace, because breath is movement. And when we hold our breath in some particular way, we limit the movement of our body from moving with breath, and therefore we cut down our ability to be able to be graceful. Because graceful is the full embodiment of breath. I'm going to take you there in a minute. So what happens when we see something that is absolutely stunningly beautiful? What happens to our breath when we see something that just takes our breath? Well, I gave it away. Takes our breath away. But does it really take our breath away? Does it open our heart when we see something really beautiful? And what happens to the breath when our heart is so open? We say it takes our breath away, but it gets really big, right? It gets really big. It takes a big inhale, and it wants to absorb and renew and take all of that nature into us, and then it wants to just let it go. So we breathe in so much more when we see beauty. So breathing in its fullness is an embodiment of our own beauty. So how do we do that? How do we do a little bit more of allowing breath in? So the first place that we can allow breath in as we sit here is to really come present to what are we sitting on. So if you will take a little bit of your time just to maybe roll and rock and feel that there is a zafu or a chair underneath you, and that through your sit bones you actually get a sense of the texture of that zafu or of that chair. You get its resiliency. You even know the limitations of where the edges of it are without moving so much. So see, with that awareness, if there's some place in this, the breath is always the second opinion to let you know you're on the right track. So with that awareness, think about, is there some place up here and out here that you can soften to let more of your weight just drop right into the seat? A releasing. And when you do that, if you feel like some part of you is released in, watch what happens to the effort in breathing. And the size of it, the shape of it, and the volume of it, and the speed of it. You can reverse the process and imagine yourself coming away from the seat, trying to sit up straight like your mother told you to do. Sit up straight. And see if breath has as much room to move. And then come back to softening your legs, softening your bottom, letting any upper body weight drop down. And what happens to the light? And can you see yourself when in that light, when you breathe more air in, when you are more in your seat? Do you not feel beautiful? Can you allow that? So every time you exhale, you are allowing yourself to come a little bit back to earth. The air is leaving. Air creates a little bit of buoyancy. So you're a little denser when you have no exhale in you, aren't you? And that density makes you a little heavier. Let the air out of a balloon. Where's the balloon go? Well, it's back to earth. Lungs, a little bit of a balloon. So notice when you feel yourself come back to earth. And notice when you breathe in, you also get a little lighter. So that you're getting a little bit more buoyant. So you're dancing between ground and space. That's a universal law. Got to go down and go up. So if you want more air in your body, it's not about lifting up and getting more air. It's about relaxing more onto the support that's underneath so that the body isn't held in tension. If it doesn't receive support, it tightens. And when it tightens, less breath is possible to fill. So we feel hungry for air when we tighten. And the ironic thing is when we tighten, it uses more of the oxygen, and at the same time we're getting less oxygen because we're tight. So if you want more air, go down. Oh yeah, there it is. It opens up a sense of ease and space. Hopefully you're feeling that. So in grace, it feels so effortless when we see it. It's like the body has its own life to it. So every time you exhale now, I'm wanting you to pay attention to what kind of sensations do you notice. Pick one sensation. Every time you exhale and you get denser, a sensation will arise somewhere in your body. It could be a shoulder. So we're going to teach the body how to breathe on its own without you. We're going to allow it to open up to breathe you rather than for you to breathe it. So every sensation you feel, when you breathe out and you feel a sensation, keep in your awareness that sensation and breathe in with the awareness of that sensation. And on the next exhale, notice if you have a sensation in the same place. And if you do, breathe with it there. But notice also if you have a sensation somewhere else. And breathe in with the awareness of that new location of the sensation. And we'll do that for 5 minutes, just keeping repeating the same idea. And notice if you don't see or feel, or please notice, if more of your body doesn't get engaged in the inhale. It's like those sensations are calling to you to say, I want some breath here. So I'm not asking you to breathe there. I'm just asking you to breathe with awareness of the sensation that becomes noticeable. Or a thought, or an image. If a thought arises, breathe with it. Allow it to live in this moment and be renewed into reality by giving it breath. And the way to give it breath is to breathe with the awareness of it. So using breath as a guide to show you where your body wants to breathe. And the more it wakes up into breathing, the more it begins to breathe you. One of the things that keeps you keeping your eyes closed, and one of the things that enhance the body's ease in breathing, is having the head looking straight forward and your eyes about 10% above the horizon. Just notice if that doesn't ease the flow. If you look down, it darkens breath. Let your tongue be at the roof of your mouth, not at the bottom. All little ideas to keep the flow moving. And you can play with that. If you put the tongue at the bottom of your mouth, you may notice the effort of breathing gets a little more difficult. If you put it back up to the top, you may find that it's easier to let the air through your throat. Keep softening into support on every exhale. Noticing sensation, thought, and image, and breathing with them. Sometimes people report that they don't feel like they get enough air. So I'm going to offer you this little suggestion to use two syllables, one on the inhale in your mind. You don't have to say it aloud, but saying the syllable sa on the way in and ha on the way out. And just notice to me it doesn't allow a little more air into your system, that the lungs expand a little bit more to receive the air. That you're opening for it when you say the word, the syllable sa, and you're letting it release more easily when you say ha. It's a difference between breathing into your nose or breathing through your nose and into your body by allowing the lungs to draw the air in rather than you making effort in your face to bring air into your organism. You can try the difference just by trying to breathe air in and then saying sa, and watch how the lungs open. Because when we effort to bring air in, the lungs tighten. But when we can soften to let them pull air through, it gets easier. And one last piece here. How to keep the mind quiet with breathing. So just notice the activity in your mind right at the moment as you breathe quietly through your nose and allow air to come into your lungs, and the effort that it's taking to breathe, and the sense of relaxation that may be present right now. And when you feel like you have a little bead on that, then just take a couple of breaths through your mouth. Watch the sense of tension in your body. Watch the ease of breath. Watch where breath moves to. And watch what happens to the activity in your nervous system. And you can go back and forth and then close your mouth after you've gotten an idea of that, and then go back to breathing through your nose. And watch what happens to your nervous system and to the activity. And then go back to taking a couple of breaths through your mouth and watch what happens there again. Which one provides more grace?
Nose.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting thing about breathing. The two rules of thumb that we follow is you breathe through your mouth as often as you eat through your nose. You'll remember that now, won't you? And you pace yourself so you can use your nose all the time. Because what happened to your nervous system when you opened your mouth to breathe?
It became tense.
It became tense and more active. So we know, at the larger example, if a bear was to come through the door, we would go, and we would be in immediate fight or flight. We would not care about anything over here or anybody else. Our attention would be there. Our nervous system would be active. Our heart would be pounding. Our muscles would get tense. We would be in an engagement of fight or flight with that bear. That's all that matters. So every time we use our mouth for breathing, we do little mini triggers of fight or flight. We put ourselves into an active state for survival. We use our nose for breathing. We put ourselves in the parasympathetic state for breathing, where we do pay attention to the periphery, and we go into a sense of belonging. We're all breathers, we all belong, we all co-create this atmosphere together. But out here, I'm in a very forward trajectory, as well as keeping the nervous system overactive, which wears it out. So it's not good for our health. That's why I say pacing yourself so you can use your breath all the time through your nose is a guideline that says if I'm breathing through my nose, then I'm staying kind of here, not out here looking for the threat and wondering where it is. So last little piece here in this is even though it's been going on, Zen practice has been going on, what, 3,000, 5,000 years at least? Our nervous system is in evolutionary development. And these practices are actually the seed for that evolutionary development. The first thing that happened to our nervous system in the face of death was we learned how to freeze. Mammals learned how to freeze, to play dead. And either they got eaten or they didn't get eaten, depending on whether the thing wanted something dead or something alive. Second phase of the nervous system came about, which said, we can fight or flight. We can run or we can fight. Those were real when the threat was real. It was either a saber-toothed tiger or it wasn't. Now, in today's civilized society, our imagination runs wild with possible things that will eat and kill us. Whether it's the stock market, or whether it's driving, or whether it's watching television, lots of imagined fear. Our nervous systems, as we're beginning to see, cannot tolerate that kind of anxiety, which is all reason, some of the reason we sit, right? Is to soothe that anxiety down. The only counterpoint to all of that fear is presence. When we're present with what is here right now, our breath, which is the easiest thing to turn back to. What's present? I'm breathing. I'm moving. That's what's here right now. Yes, there's sound and there's color and there's light and there's all those things. But when we become present, what does disappear? All of those imagined fears. So we are trying, as a civilization, to cultivate a new channel for our nervous system that's really available to us on an everyday basis so that we can stop being in fight or flight all the time. So we can come present. So nose breathing, there it is. You follow it in. It's the way we get inside, not outside. Putting our awareness on the movement of breath takes us in. And then there's this relationship about how our body moves with breath. That's what's going on. Our body breathes, we move. We don't breathe, we hold our breath, we hold ourselves tight, we don't move. We don't move, we go back to the definition. Grace, simple, elegant refinement in movement. No grace. So remember, breathe through your mouth as often as you eat through your nose, and pace yourself during the day so you can always use your nose for breathing, and that it does include talking. So if I run out of air, I follow my breath in, I have a moment of myself, and then I can talk. And so that's the simple basic facts. So thank you for letting me share them with you today.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Puget Sound Zen Center. Thanks so much for listening. To learn more about our community, you can visit our website at pszc.org.